fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
Welcome back to the Charlie Cook Cricket Podcast. Now, what a day of Test cricket. What a Test match we have had. What a chase from England. They are such an incredible team when they have a total to chase. The 9th, 10th highest run chase in history. The second of England's highest ever run chases in Test cricket. Just a superb effort from them. Ben Duckett today, 149. Looked incredible. 50s from Crawley and Joe Root to get us over the line. I'm joined by Joe today. We are going to go through day five, the rest of the Test match, what we think is going to happen in the next Test. Joe, what a game this was, and what a day of cricket. I mean, we have just been spoiled, haven't we?
Yeah, I mean, this is two world-class teams. I know India are kind of going through a bit of a transitional period right now, like post-Virat and Rohit, all that kind of stuff, like the new era under Gill, but it's two world-class teams at the end of the day. Like, India had five centurions. You've got the best bowler in the world. And I thought Siraj, by the way, he really bowled well in the second innings. I thought he was fantastic. So, like, I know he can be a little bit patchy at times, but I think he's a really good bowler. Jadeja is like an unbelievable all-rounder still. And once he actually started to bowl in a rough, which was pointed out on Sky, which was odd that he wasn't doing, he was very good. Like, it's two world-class sides at the end of the day. And yeah, what a treat the last 5 days. Like, it's been scintillating to watch.
I know. I mean, some of the stats from it. India are the first team to lose a Test match after having five centurions in the side. It's the highest aggregate score between England and India, 1,673 runs. Obviously, England's chase was historic as it is. I do find it quite funny that their highest chase was basically against the same bowling attack just 3 years ago. There's just something about this India bowling attack that England likes to chase against. I mean, India should have won this game and should have won this game quite comfortably. At day two, they're 430 for three. They then get bowled out for 471. They drop five chances to let England get up to 465, which was basically parity. And then again, they're what were they, 330 for three at one, 330 for four? And they only set England 371 to win. And I had my doubts and I didn't want to jinx it going into it, but I kind of fancied England to chase down anything less than 400, and he looks pretty good doing it today.
Yeah, it was special. Like, it was a seriously special chase. Right the way throughout, yeah, apart from Brook and Pope's dismissals, which obviously, like, they both, well, Pope obviously got a ton, Brook got 99. So, you know, it's like, give them a little bit of a break in that sense. And they were frustrating, I suppose, especially Brooks. But, I think Pope kind of just got a ball that he probably wasn't expecting too much from Krishna. And obviously he chopped on, but it was a good ball, I thought.
Yeah.
On another day, like, Root got one, like, an over later or something that, like, jabbed through between, like, his stomach and his bat. Like, that could have easily happened to Pope. And that was a dot ball. So I thought Pope was unlucky. Brooks' shot wasn't great. But again, looking back on it, is what it is now. It's something that you kind of put as a learning curve and move on from, I guess. But yeah, right throughout, everyone was sensational. I thought Duckett, that's probably, well, definitely his best innings in an English shirt, quite easily, in my opinion. I don't think he's played better, at least in terms of importance of the knock as well. I'm trying to think off the top of my head.
Was that one? 153 in India was pretty impressive.
That was really good, actually. To be fair, I forgot about that one. Certainly in England, as in like at home.
Yeah,
That's his best knock. So yeah, I thought he was fantastic. I thought Crawley was again. That's one of his. I think that's one of Crawley's better innings in Test cricket. And obviously he didn't go on and get 100. I thought that further the technical tweak that he made, which was to play a lot straighter, was really, really good. Or play well, yeah, like kind of have more of an open bat face was really good. And the way he kind of gritted it out, sometimes Crawley can be the kind of guy who can almost, obviously just kind of watching him bat, seem like he gets a little bit frustrated if he's not scoring and ticking things over quickly. But I think that didn't really phase him today. There was a couple of like wild swipes in the morning session. But apart from that, he never really seemed phased. And I don't think he gave a chance at all until obviously he got out, apart from that really tough caught and bowled with Bumrah, which was a half chance, I would say, with a fast bowler having to essentially get as low to the ground as possible. So yeah, I thought he was great. Root was fantastic, of course. And Jamie Smith, what an innings as well. I absolutely love Jamie Smith. He's such a good player. We spoke about Varane being one of the best keeper batters. Obviously, Pant is up there. I think Carey is definitely up there. He's been exceptional. And we're getting close to, I think, being able to put Smith in that bracket as well. I think he's brilliant. Just a tick under 43 is average, I think. He is got about 700 runs. And yeah, today was a really good knock as well. So I think everyone really chipped in throughout the test match. I really think it was a team effort for England. And yeah, it was a fantastic chase.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Jamie Smith averaged now after 11 matches, he's averaging 45 at a strike rate of 73 with 100 and 450s.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
That's all you would want from your number seven.
Yeah.
And it has been relatively, I know he missed a stump in against Pan, but apart from that, he's relatively chanceless with the gloves, like hasn't really caused any issues. Apart from that one weird bit where he kept letting byes through, but then they didn't run the byes, and that was all a bit strange. I thought he was great. I mean, for me, England win this chase or do this chase because of that opening partnership. That opening partnership was just fantastic. I thought there was a point where can we do this without losing a wicket?
I was thinking that as well. So the kind of moment you can just like dream about that, about scoring 371 for none, and Ducky gets 200 and Crawley gets 170 or something. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, and I thought it was really sensible from Crawley today, how he batted. It's not his usual kind of go out there and try and blast everything. I think he knew how much easier it is to bat when that ball gets soft, and was just kind of, okay, I'm just going to hold on, see off the new ball. If we can see off the new ball here, Duckett's going at kind of a 80, 90, 100 strike rate at the other end. I don't need to take as many risks. I think there was a point in the morning session where they were both at about a 50 strike rate, and then Duckett started to push on, but Crawley stayed at that. I mean, they only scored, what was it, 96 runs in the first session, which is slow for England. There wasn't a lot of overs bowled, and I'm sure there's going to be quite a few overrate penalties at some point. It does make me think, did England wait until the 82nd over just so India gets some penalty points for their second innings as well? That would have been quite amusing if they've done that, because obviously anything under 80 overs, they don't get a overrate penalty in the World Test Championship final. Duckett was the star. He picks up his first ever Man of the Match award, which seems odd, considering how many great knocks that he's had, and he's quite comfortably the best all-format opener. Probably the best all-format batter at the moment in the form that he's in. You could say the likes, what's the competition? Travis Head,
probably Brooke as well. But I think we're waiting for like a big, big kind of contribution from Brooke in ODI cricket. Still, I would probably say Head and Brooke are the two nearest. I think I read on Twitter before that Duckett and Head are the only two batters in a top 20 ICC rankings across all three formats. So I guess it is them two, and then it's just whoever you want to pick out of them two, basically, based on your preference. Yeah, I think Duckett is definitely. I personally would probably still lean towards Travis Head. Maybe that's me being a bit like, I don't know. I don't know really what, why. Maybe because he's done it a little bit longer, as in a couple more years. But that's not really Duckett's fault. That's just because he wasn't in the team a couple of years ago. So yeah, I think it's very, very close.
Yeah, see, it's funny. So I'm looking at the the rankings, the men's batting rankings now. Travis Head is 12th in tests, Ben Duckett is 13th. Travis Head is also 12th in ODIs, and Ben Duckett is 16th. Travis Head is number one in T20, and Ben Duckett is 16th.
But I also think Duckett's not been playing as long.
Yeah, Duckett is trending in a better way than I think Travis Head is. I can't remember the last kind of great Travis Head innings. It's been a while.
He got that 100 at, was it the Gabba when Smith got his 100 in the winter? Yeah. I think it was the Gabba.
But we've had a lot of cricket since then.
Yeah. But that's like the last time I remember him. And certainly on an international level, that's the last time I remember him
getting
a good weight of runs. I don't think he got any runs. He didn't really get many runs in Sri Lanka, I can remember.
And they put him in as that kind of pinch hitter at the top of the order.
Yeah, I don't think he really got many.
And then I'm trying to think, what would be our Champions Trophy? And then he was pretty poor in the IPL. So, yeah, it was interesting. One thing that I will say about Duckett as well, while we're on it, is that I think it's really impressive that he was offered a gig in the IPL basically at the start of the tournament to come in as a, I think it was a replacement at Delhi for Harry Brook. And he turned it down, said, no, I'm going to spend time with family, rest up for the test series, play a couple of championship games. And I thought that's something that's really impressive, because if that would have been a replacement player for the whole tournament, he would have been played. He would have done quite well, money wise, rather than just taking a bit of a cash grab at the end of the tournament and leaving your county in the shit, Johnny Bairstow. I'm giddy about this chase. I thought that a Bumrah-led attack was just going to be really difficult to do this against. And it turns out Bumrah just wasn't very good today, or England did really well.
I think they played quite well. I think it's not as easy against Bumrah, but for some bowlers who are just that good, you just got to try and not get out to them. Rashid Khan is an example in T20 cricket where people now just try not to get out to him rather than taking him on. Obviously, different format, completely different bowler. But I feel like that's probably how England kind of went into this chase with that mentality. Because all you need is Bumrah to get 3 wickets. You know, England are like 30 for 3 last night, and they're not going to win today. But I thought the way Crawley and Duckett played against him last night, and the same in the first innings. I know we got a 5, but I thought Pope played very well against him in the first innings, where he was very sure of leaving him, and that's not easy because Bumrah can move the ball both ways, swing it and seam it. So that's very tough. And also, I thought they left very well again, similar reasons. That the best ball probably of the whole test match was bowled by Bumrah this morning on Duckett. Oh,
what a ball that was.
Like I don't know how Duckett, like, I don't know how he missed that. Not in like a, yeah, I don't know how he didn't possibly edge that. It was a really fortunate moment for Duckett, because anyone in the world, if that had been Root, I still would have thought, how did you not edge that? Like, anyone.
Yeah, I think it was that unplayable, that it was so unplayable that you couldn't actually get a bat on it.
Well, yeah, there is that. Yeah, it was so good, angled in, like, nip the seams, and like, it was like the seams obviously like, quite wobbly. I think that was a wobble seamer, if I remember rightly. Like when they like pan to the behind angle of pan and the ball is coming through to him, I think it was a wobble seamer. So yeah, it was so good. Like that ball was, I would say, the best ball to test match.
Yeah, because it's kind of, because of his natural lean that he has over to one side, your natural reaction is it's going to go away from you if you're a left-hander.
Yeah.
Then the ball swings in, then it hits the seam and then goes off. So it's basically swung twice and seamed.
Yeah.
And it's just, it was completely unplayable. And I just looked at it, I thought, oh. you can't get anywhere near that. No. It was an absolute joke. Bumrah ends up with 5 for 140, which if you're England, you're pretty happy with that. And also you got 40, four overs into his legs. You'd imagine he's going to... I mean, I think he plays one, two, and four.
Yeah, he definitely has to play four, like I said the other day, because he needs to play Old Trafford, because that's like a fast bowler's haven, basically. You need Bournemouth to play there. That's the same reason why I think Archie will play at Old Trafford. And England will go like pure pace. I think they'll go Tong, pass Archer at Old Trafford, personally. But obviously, that's a debate further down the line. But yeah, you're right. Like, obviously, Bournemouth bowled a lot of overs. I think he will play next week because the layover is quite... Is that next week or is it just slightly the week after? I think
he's into... it's the week. It's not this week, it's next week. Yeah, it's the 2nd of July it starts.
Yeah, so the layover is fairly long. And then I think he'll probably not play the third test.
Yeah, he's got an 8-day break now between the next test. So I think that's a long enough break for him, considering he hasn't had a load of cricket. So he's probably still quite fresh. What are India do going forward?
It's tough, isn't it? Because there are some players who are... It feels like there are obviously some players who are undroppable. The 5 centurions, obviously, are all going to play. And then, well, sorry, it's 4 centurions, but obviously Pant scored 2. So the 4 centurions and Bumrah, assume Bumrah's going to play. I think Siraj will definitely play. Jadeja will definitely play. So then that kind of leaves Nair as someone who is potentially, like, his place is a little bit under threat. I don't know who they'd really replace him with.
I think the only change that they'd make to that batting lineup is...
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
Either drop Siddharthan and move Nair up to 3 and play a Washington Sundar or a Nitesh Kumar already or someone like that, or just drop Karan Nair.
I think they'll keep Siddharthan in. I actually think they'll keep Nair in, to be honest. I don't think India are the kind of side who will just drop someone after one or two games. So I actually don't think they'll change the batting order at all. Definitely Siddharthan. I know we got that duck, but Siddharthan's class. Like, yeah. I don't think they'll drop him at all. Plus, Gill's the captain. He knows him from the IPL. They obviously opened the batting together in the IPL. So Gill's going to know exactly how good he is from the perspective of batting with him. And they've had some very good partnerships, obviously. So I think that definitely helps Siddharthan as well. But I think it'd be stupid to drop him. And I don't think they'll drop Nair. I don't think Nair deserves to be dropped. I know he didn't have their best test, but he's just got a double ton for India A. I think they'll probably drop Shardul. I know he bowled quite well, but in the second innings, but it just didn't seem to me that Gill really kind of...
He didn't want to go to him, did he?
Trusted him, no. And I think they mentioned on comms about how he was almost bowling him for kind of... almost trying to bowl him into form, I guess, is the way to phrase it. That's not exactly how they said it, but... It definitely felt like he was kind of reluctant. So I think it wouldn't surprise me if they brought Kuldeep in. But then obviously you'd lose a batter. That's quite a long tail. I could also see them bringing in Nitish Kumar already or Washington Sundar. But again, I'm not sure if that order is right. You could also drop Jadeja down to 8 and put one of those to a 7. And then I do think that Krishna might get dropped as well. I really hope Ashdeep plays. And I think they need to get Ashdeep into the action before throwing him in inevitably when Bumrah's rested. Because I think the bowling attack without Bumrah will be Ashdeep, Siraj, Krishna.
Sounds rough if you're an Indian fan. I like Ashdeep, but
I love Ashdeep.
It's difficult replacing Bumrah, isn't it? Those those games now without Boomer look a lot harder than you think you had him for this test. And England still chase down 371 with 5 wickets remaining, and they do it in 82 overs. Yeah, it looks tough going forward. Krishna goes for 6 and over in the second innings. Shardul goes for 5. Jadeja goes for 4. So I thought Siraj bowled really well today.
I thought Siraj bowled well, yeah.
But the problem is that's your one Siraj spell that you've had. Now he's going to be shit for the next 3 because that's the Siraj experience. And unfortunately, he didn't pick up any wickets today. He's an odd cricketer. And if it works, then it's great. If it doesn't work, then it looks really poor. I mean, it is the problem of Siraj being that second seamer in the side. And it's just, if he's your third and he's behind Bumrah and Shami, then it looks great. If it's Siraj is your second choice, then it's tough because you haven't really got anywhere to go to. I think England saw that Siraj was on a bit of a spell today and just, again, gave him the Bumrah treatment, saw him out, and knew that they'd have Krishna and Shardul that's going to be bowling at some point, and that's all going to be relatively simple.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Siraj bowled very well, right throughout last night as well, and right throughout today. Kept things very tight. And I thought that there was an issue of Indian bowlers not really backing up Bumrah, particularly in that first innings. But I think today Siraj really did back Bumrah up. And probably you could argue out bowled him, just on figures alone. I quite like Siraj. I like his character. I think he brings a lot of kind of excitement to the game. Like you saw that when Duckett edged for 4, and they had that kind of moment. I think it's when they got to 100 partnership, Duckett and Crawley, and they kind of had that moment where Duckett and Crawley were just like glove punched in the middle, and Siraj just went and stood in front of them, and they were just like laughing together. Like little things like that, I kind of appreciate it in cricketers. And I think without Virat, like, you know, you need someone who's going to kind of step up with that spectacle. They talked on Sky again about how Siraj was the one that motivating the crowd. And I think he's quite an important figure in that Indian side now without Virat, especially in that sense. So I hope he keeps his place. I'll be obviously very surprised if he didn't. And I hope he continues to bowl like that, because when he is like that, he's very, very good. And really exciting to watch. But yeah, I think India needs to try and figure out a way to get Kuldeep into the side. I don't know how, because it leaves, for me, the team quite unbalanced, and probably maybe even like a batter short. So I don't know how they do that, but I do think they need to try and get Kuldeep into the side at some point, because I think he's going to be a real point of difference. England has struggled against Kuldeep across formats for a number of years. So, you know, particularly in India, obviously, but even in England at times, he's bowled well kind of had England in knots. So I think England needs to try and figure out, India needs to try and figure out a way to get Kuldeep into the side.
Yeah, I can kind of see how Kuldeep would fit into the side when Bumrah's rested, because then you kind of go in with 3 seamers and hope for the best. The issue is that you could go in with 3 seamers, and like a Shardul or a Nitesh Kumar Reddy is your third seamer, and that seems really short in the bowling.
Then they could drop Karan Nair and bring Nitesh Kumar Reddy into the middle order, and then you've still got 4 seamers. And obviously you've got your 2 spinners as well. That seems quite balanced still.
Yeah, but then you've got Kuldeep batting at 8 with 3 number 11s.
No, because they'd have Shardul 8, Kuldeep 9.
Okay.
Like that. Kuldeep 9, Siraj 10, Ashdeep 11, however, I don't know, however they do it.
So you'd play Nitesh and Shardul.
And Shardul. So then Nitesh.
And then 2 frontline seamers.
And then 8, 9, 10, 11, yeah. That kind of balances it out a bit, but it's quite hard. Or they could do the same thing, but instead of picking Kuldeep, add Ashdeep into that, and then pick Washington Sundar at 6. So then you still get your 2 spinners and your 4 seamers. It depends. India can, they do have that option to kind of bolster their bowling attack in that sense. And I think certainly Nitish and Washington are very, very good players, like very, very good batters.
Yeah.
And they're definitely number 6s. So I think that would be kind of no problem in that sense either. So yeah, there's definitely ways they can bolster their bowling attack, and I don't really think they necessarily lose too much with their batting.
Yeah, I tend to agree. In terms of England, what do England do next?
Well, I definitely not touch the top seven because they've all, throughout the test match, done well for various reasons at various points. I would probably, I'd love to see Archer play, but I actually would give Archer one more game in the County Championship, and he plays the third test, the fourth test, and maybe the fifth test, depending on his fitness, but definitely the third and fourth. But I would love to see Archer play. Maybe just give him one more run out in Red Bull cricket, because it's been such a long time. And he bowled 18 overs in Sussex's first innings this week. So he's clear, well, Durham's first innings, Sussex's first bowling innings. So he's clearly able to, you know, kind of maintain a good level for a long period of time. It's not a case of bowling 10 overs and that's it, which is really positive. So I'd potentially be tempted to just leave Archer for now, give him one more championship game. And then I would probably play, I'd love to see Sam Cook get a game. I think Wokes didn't particularly bowl too well, to be honest, this week. But I thought he batted quite well.
Yeah, his runs were really important.
Yeah, and that's been, he struggled a little bit with the bat, you know, recently, Wokes. So to see him kind of find his mojo, I guess, with the bat, it was really positive. But I think he's someone who takes time to get into stride, isn't he, in a series. So I don't think they will drop Wokes or rotate Wokes out, rest Wokes, however you want to phrase it. But I would love to see Sam Cook play. Second test is Edgbaston, isn't it?
Edgbaston. So it's going to be flat.
So I think Wokes will definitely play at Edgbaston. Sorry, at Lords. And I think Sam Cook will also play at Lords. So I could see them. The only change they make is Tong out to rest him for Lords as well. It's tricky, isn't it? Like, obviously, there's so many question marks with Bashir. I don't think Bashir bowled particularly well this week. I know some, it seems to be quite a split, actually. Some people seem to think he bowled quite well on.
I thought he bowled well in the first innings. I thought he showed a lot more control. The issue is, you look back at that, and it was basically India saying, I don't have to take a single risk against you. Yeah. I can milk you for 3.5 an over, and then once an over, you're going to bowl a bad ball, and I hit it for four.
Yeah, I think the other thing we'll be sure is the way he got his wickets. It's a positive and negative, because he got his wickets with people being caught on the boundary, which is good, because that shows that you know, he's kind of willing to take the gambles. And we know Bashir flies it up a lot. We know he tries to get it above the eye line and takes a lot of pace off the ball. And I suppose in a way that's worse, but also he didn't really create many chances I can remember in and around the bat or anything like that. So I guess it's kind of like, it's almost like what you want as personally from your spinner, what England want from their spinner. Do they want someone who can just almost hold up an end and, you know, kind of pick off wickets later on in the innings potentially? Or do they want someone who's maybe a little bit more attacking? And I think that's something they still need to figure out. But I don't see them dropping Bashir.
No.
I'd be very surprised. So I think the only change I could see is one of Tonga cast rested. And I don't know who it will be yet, but Tong's done well at Lords. So it wouldn't surprise me if Cass didn't play at Lords and Tong did, and also Cook and Wokes did.
Tong's played half his test matches at Lords.
Exactly. Tong's done really well at Lords before. So I think he will maybe be rested for this test. I don't know who they bring in. Maybe they bring Cook in. But I don't think that's the right call at Edgbaston. I'll bring someone with a little bit more pace in. Maybe they go to like a Matty Potts, someone like that. And then, yeah, then they bring Tong back in for Lords.
Yeah, because Atkinson's out until the third test at least now.
Oh, okay, yeah. I forgot about Atkinson, to be honest, because obviously he's injured. So.
I think they bring Joffre in the second test. I think they play him second and fourth. Then that gives him like 2 weeks in between tests, rather than just like 8 days or whatever he'd have in between the third and the fourth.
I would love to see Joffre. Like, the only concern I have is he underbowled in Red Bull cricket. It's not even about whether he's going to be able to adapt. Like, it's just about overs in the legs. But like I say, he seems to have been fine this week. And his most recent injury was so kind of like not irrelevant to his test fitness, but it was just something and nothing in a way.
He's
proven for a long time that he's able to bowl a long period of time again. So I'd love to see Joffre play. Like, that would be so good.
Yeah, and there's also a chance that Mark Hood would be fit for the fifth test.
Yeah, that's exciting.
So maybe you don't need Joffre for that fifth test. And you go with him second and two and four, and then try and work out Lords, because Lords might be a little bit seamer friendly, as you said, play Wokes and Cook, and try and move some, get some movement down the slope. I think it's interesting how England go. Would I want to make too many changes? If it was me, I'd drop Bashir. Don't know. Will I drop Wokes? Maybe.
I'll keep watching because, like I say, he's definitely going to play at Lords. And I think the one test Wokes shouldn't play is Old Trafford, because that's too... I don't think... I mean, obviously, I've seen a lot of cricket at Old Trafford this season. And probably aside from Jimmy Anderson, no one who bowls kind of like early 80s has been super effective at Old Trafford. Cricket. So maybe that's the test Wokes doesn't play, and they play Cass, Tong and Jofra. That's a very exciting attack, and that's one that will work, I think, at Old Trafford as well.
Yeah, it'd definitely be interesting. But what a test match we've had. What a start to a test series we've had. England win by 5 wickets, go 1-0 up in the series. Joe, what was your prediction for the series at the start? Was it 3-1?
I guess a 3-2 England.
Okay. Would you like to change that, or are you happy with 3-2?
No, I'm going to stick with it.
Okay. Yeah. India win the other two Bumrah tests, and then we beat them at the Oval.
That'd be nice to leave in a little bit of a series decider. That would be cool. I don't want England to lose a test match. If England win 5-0, great. But also, series deciders are very fun. So
yeah. I think the issue that I have with India going forward is that this test match must be really demoralising if you're Indian. Of just for the simple fact of you had so many opportunities to win this test match, and England just kept coming back. You kept letting them back into the game, whether it was drop catches, whether it was batting collapses. Didn't matter what it was. You just kept getting in. England just kept coming back into the game. And I just think that it could be really difficult for them to come back in. Bumrah takes 5 for you, have 5 centuries. I don't know. It just seems like a really tough ask to try and then come back from that. But we will see. Interesting to see. But that is going to be it for today. Thank you all for watching, everyone that's been here over the last 5 days. I'm sure there is not a single Indian fan left listening to this podcast. So let's hope England win 5-0. Please remember to like, subscribe, all the usual stuff. If you do want to check out Joe, all of his links will be down in the description and the show notes. Leave us a review, leave us a rating, all the usual stuff. And I will see you guys maybe later in the week. Maybe we'll do a wrap-up of the County Championship, because we have had a full round of that. And then maybe talk a little bit on Australia versus West Indies as well. So I'll see you guys later in the week. Enjoy this England win. And thank you for listening.